97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I walk in the studio this morning and Kim goes, well, you're in a good mood.
You had a, not that you're ever in a bad mood when you walk in, but you had a big smile on your face at like 5:05.
Yeah, you know, that's not, I mean, normally I'm so-so. I get a little bit of coffee in me, whatever. I'm feeling pretty good about the selection right now. And I don't want the, you know, to suggest in any way, shape, or form, if you haven't voted, you should vote. But I am. I'm just watching these polls. I'm watching kind of the momentum. I watched the rally last night.
Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden.
Oh, my gosh. The crowd.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, in New York City.
Yeah.
And you know, they had a bunch of people who couldn't get in. Like, half again as many people as they had in the stadium couldn't get in there. I mean, that to me is just... That's just incredible. Of course, here's the deal. We talk about the mainstream media all the time and how we basically lost the mainstream media. Like, I said this to somebody the other day, and they were suggesting, well, you know, they're not all like that. I mean, look at the Associated Press. I'm like, are you kidding me?
This person clearly is a follower of CNN and NBC if you think the Associated Press is not biased.
The Associated Press is... leading the pack. And here's what people need to understand, because I'm going to read you the headline in the AP this morning about the Trump rally. Here's what you need to understand. There's an AP wire that goes into every television newsroom in America. If they didn't source the story locally, oftentimes they just take the AP story and rewrite it for their own purpose.
Yep.
They pay a fee to AP to be able to do that. AP broadcast, and then they just rebroadcast whatever AP sends them. Let me read you the headline. Now, here we are bragging about what a fantastic rally this was in Madison Square Garden. I was out working in the garage. I had turned it on early on. I listened to J.D. Vance. I listened to Hulk Hogan. I didn't get to listen to Tony Hinchcliffe. Unfortunately, they hated him, too. Like, he's a comedian. He's the guy that roasted Tom Brady. He says off-color things. It's what he does. He's a comedian, for goodness sake. He was one of the first people up yesterday. Oh, they hate him. Hate him. Apparently, he called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. It was a joke,
right.
But you can't joke about things like that, right? Here's the headline in AP this morning. Trump's Madison Square Garden event features crude and racist insults. So it's apparent. I didn't know this. Because I've been around a long time. I've known a lot of people. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people who are lazy. And you know the one trait that follows that has nothing to do with the color of their skin. I know white people, I know brown people, I know black people, I know green people who are lazy.
You know green people?
They're just lazy. Absolutely green with envy. They're just lazy, right? But apparently lazy is a reference to race somehow. I found that out in reading this AP article today. Trump's Madison Square Garden rally featured crude and racist insults.
Well, weren't the networks, including MSNBC, referencing back to the Nazi rally that was held there and trying to draw comparisons to that?
Tim Walz, all of them.
It's just ridiculous. Was it Kevin McCarthy who was calling out Kamala Harris saying, you have to stop this disgusting rhetoric that you're spewing out of your mouth, the amount of lies, the language that you're choosing to use to describe Trump, comparing him to Hitler.
Right.
I was talking to my husband and I were driving home last night from a family event, and he's like, when you look online or you talk to people who support Kamala Harris, they are deathly afraid. And when I say deathly, I'm not exaggerating. Deathly afraid of Donald Trump becoming president. They seriously think that he's going to round up the military and start going to their house and arrest him and do all kinds of crazy things.
Because the people on the left have lied so much about him that their followers have started to buy into that. They're paranoid. It's one reason why what's his name the other day was suggesting that that there would be riots in the street. The guy that did the podcast with Tucker Carlson.
Yep.
He thinks there's going to be riots in the street.
I agree. There, I believe,
happens.
There will be.
Well, I think there will be, too. There'll be dropping flops, as we call them, when your child goes boneless and lays on the floor because it's not getting what it wants.
Remember,
right?
BLM, when they burned down the 7-Eleven and all these other businesses? I think that could happen, and I don't mean that to scare everybody, but I really think that we could see some of that.
All lies, and I tell you what, J.D. Vance did a masterful job on network television this weekend challenging some of the garbage that's spewed by people like Jake Tapper and his obvious bias when he goes into these things. I mean, it's incredible to me, and I don't know how the mainstream media gets away with it, but J.D. Vance did a great job. We're going to play some of that for you here this morning, in fact, because he chewed him up and he spit him back out, and it's just been, I'm feeling good. I got a smile on my face this morning because I'm feeling good heading into this week, despite long lines of polling places. Keep going. Keep at it. We'll give you an update on what's going on in St. Charles County, where some of the longest lines have been as we go through the morning. But right now, Carl, let's get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Name me something he's ever done. One single thing. Name me one single thing as a private entrepreneur or as a candidate he's ever done for American labor.
Yeah, what is that, Joe Biden? What have you done for American labor lately? I mean, just out of interest, what have you done for American labor other than flood the United States job market with illegal aliens taking their jobs?
I just did something very big for Detroit and for Michigan in particular. I killed the massive plants that were going to be built in Mexico. They're dead.
All right, there you go. There's one example, Joe Biden, of what Donald Trump plans to do for big labor.
Whether it's voter ID in places like Wisconsin or Georgia, or a little bit of tightening of the regulations around signature verification in places like Pennsylvania, that I think our elections are in a pretty good spot in 2024.
There you go. That was J.D. Vance on with Margaret Brennan. Because they were talking election integrity. And he's like, yeah, I think we're in a better place this year than we were 4 years ago.
People are killing innocent people. Girls are being raped, you know. Girls are being murdered in the streets. And there's nothing being done about it.
There you go. Then the voice you just heard there is an interview we've got on a little later this morning at 7:35 with a woman named Evelyn. Now, Evelyn wanted to keep her last name private. She is an immigrant to this country from Africa. She's been here for 16 years. And Kim, Kim and I interviewed her on Friday for the show this morning, and I said to Kim about halfway through the interview, I'm like, do you understand why I wanted to have Evelyn on the radio?
Mm-hmm. You were pretty adamant about it. And yes. I obviously had only heard how you described her, but meeting her in person, I mean, obviously you've done hundreds and hundreds of interviews on this show, but even in the year plus I've been here, I've done quite a few interviews. And I have to tell you, that interview with Evelyn might be in my top three or top number one interview. I mean, she was fantastic.
Easily.
So passionate, well-spoken. She describes the American dream and all these people who just expect everything to be handed to them and want to play the victim card and all of these things. She obliterates that.
She's living her American dream, and she has a message for all of the people in America who sit around and moan and are lazy, there I go using that word again, and claim that the system is somehow working against them from achieving their American dream. This is a woman who moved here from Africa with nothing 16 years ago. Today, she's a homeowner. What challenges have you faced in your life, is her question. It's such a powerful interview. I want you to set your alarm. If you can't stay with us here until 7:35, set an alarm on your phone and come back and tune back in at 7:35. You don't want to miss this. We'll have it up on demand later. We'll have it on the podcast for you at 7:35. But make it appointment radio this morning. You need to hear what this woman has to say leading into the most important election in our lives 1 week from tomorrow. So be sure and tune in for that. All right, coming up, more from the president's rally last night in Madison Square Garden, the one that the AP would like you to believe featured crude and racist insults, as opposed to like one of the biggest rallies in the history of Madison Square Gardens with another 75 or 100,000 people outside who couldn't get in. It was incredible. In New York City, which the no Republicans won that in 45 years. And Donald Trump had incredible enthusiasm there last night. I'll bring you some of the sound from it when we come back in just a minute, right after Carl Middleman, our national anthem.
We will teach our children to love our country, to honor our history, and to always respect our great American flag. And as long as the Speaker of the House of Representatives is here, I would like to put forward a bill, because I watched 2 months ago as some very bad people, radical left people, by the way, nothing happened to them, in Washington, D.C., burned our American flags. They were burning flags. And I would like to suggest that we put in a bill. If you burn the American flag, 1 year in jail.
Yeah. Part of President Trump's comments last night at Madison Square Garden, MSG. That place was packed. It was impressive to see on TV. And, you know, I think as much as anything, it was a warning shot across the bow. I mean, Trump is going to win large swaths of New York State. Unfortunately, 11 million people live in Manhattan and New York City. And overcoming that is almost impossible. But if he even makes it close, if he brings it to within a few points, that is a shot across the bow of the Democrat lie machine, which is in full force in the media these days, right? Listen, I'm going to read you a little bit of that AP article I brought up earlier, because I think it's important to understand the mindset of the reporters covering Donald Trump. You have to understand who they are. Like Jake, watching that Jake Tapper interview with J.D. Vance, Jake Tapper is an angry advocate for Kamala Harris. He's an angry advocate. He hates Donald Trump. And it came across so much. You could see the expression on his face. He couldn't believe J.D. Vance was defending this and defending that. And how can you say that? And blah, 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 blah. He called people the enemy within. Democrats, the enemy within. If somebody wants to spread socialism and socialist policies in my country, they're an enemy. They're an enemy to the American dream. And it's okay to say that. Wow. I mean, listen to this. Associated Press. Donald Trump hosted a rally featuring crude and racist insults in New York's Madison Square Garden Sunday, turning what his campaign dubbed as the event where he would deliver his closing message into an illustration of what turns off his critics. Do you think he was there to impress his critics? Or to impress his supporters?
I'm going to go with that.
Well, thank you. So what was so rude about it? You know what they got mad about? They got mad about because a guy named Sid Rosenberg, who's a talk show host, got up on the stage. He was one of the warm-up acts, right, along with the comedian. And he made some comments about illegals. Well, let me tell you what. The vast majority of Americans support what Sid Rosenberg said. Listen to this.
You got homeless and veterans, Americans sleeping on their own feces on a bench in Central Park. But the illegals, they get whatever they want, don't they?
Yeah, but people in New York know that firsthand, because they're putting them up in the hotels in downtown New York City that you and I couldn't afford. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Now, I'll be honest, I've had plenty of frustrations with insurance companies over the year. In fact, we're dealing with that right now because we were hit by a pretty rough hailstorm maybe what? When was that? Was that May?
Yeah.
It was a while ago. We had to get a whole new roof. Now we're having to replace our siding. But of course, our insurance company is only covering a portion of it. So we're still having to shell out several $1,000s to get the rest of it done so that we don't just have, you know, 10 or whatever it is. Pieces of siding, you know, on
one
that, yeah, clearly don't match. And of course they say, well, you know, we've discontinued the type of siding that you have, which is interesting, by the way, because I've been talking to my neighbors who were in the same boat as us, because our neighborhood must have been like ground zero for this hailstorm. I mean, everyone in our neighborhood's getting new roofs, new siding. And they were saying, well, you know, that is interesting because our insurance company told us that our siding was also discontinued.
Kim, it's like the lightning cord for your Apple phone. They change it ever so often, so you'll have no choice but to buy new accessories.
Bingo. That was my thought. Maybe I'm a cynic, but that was exactly what went through my mind when everyone was starting to talk. I mean, I already thought it, and then they just confirmed it when they told me that they were told the same thing. Listen to what happened to this couple out of California. So I guess these insurance companies are using these aerial shots, and now that's very easy because you have drones, you can fly up in the air over these homes. So this California couple was dropped from their home insurance plan last month because there was a satellite photo that was taken and sent to them in the mail letting them know they were being dropped that showed what was called moss. Okay. They're saying, no, it was just solar panels. In fact, the local news station that did the story, they had the aerial shot and it looks like solar panels. But the insurance company was claiming that the roof had algae, mildew, and mold that would negatively impact its structural integrity. That was all they were told. They didn't get anything else other than we're dropping you. And they had had them for like 20 some odd years.
That's ridiculous.
They tried to file an appeal, didn't work. This is interesting. Now, I know I'm talking about a situation out of California, but I truly believe that this could happen here. And I'm going to go over that here in a second. But I want you to listen to part of the story again that was done on this couple out of California.
Insurance broker of 30 years, Carl Sussman, says insurers must give you the chance to fix the problem and the option to prove the insurer got that hazard wrong.
They don't want to get slammed by the Department of Insurance, and believe me, they will if they're non-renewing you for a reason that doesn't exist.
He admits insurance companies are running scared right now and finding reasons to drop customers because they're not turning a profit in California.
Yes, that's California, but who's to say that's not going to happen here? Again, we have had a lot of natural disasters here in Missouri. In fact, I found an article on Fox 2 that talks about that and how that has driven up car insurance policies, specifically in Missouri, California, and Minnesota. And as you know, a lot of these insurance companies bundle home and auto.
Sure.
And, you know, my mindset would be, well, gosh, we're paying so much money into you and we don't ever really file a policy. So you'd think that you'd have plenty of money to be able to cover these claims. But I will admit to my ignorance, I don't know a lot about this. I'm obviously, when you have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of homeowners at the same time filing claims that are several $1,000s each, that's millions of dollars. So I'm sure you're not equipped to cover that because you've probably, well, in some cases, maybe you've spent the money and invested it, right? A lot of these companies do that.
Oh,
they're
sure they do.
Just like banks stuff. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's like car insurance. You know, you have car insurance. You're paying into it every single month. You have one little claim, and all of a sudden, your rate's gone up.
I don't pretend to understand how the actuarials figure it all out, to be honest with you. But there's a reason why when you apply for home insurance, they want your driver's license number. Have you ever noticed that?
No.
Whether you've got auto insurance with them or not. Or like a life insurance company, for example, will often ask for your driver's license number.
I don't think I realize that.
Because,
I mean, obviously, I know they do when you have auto insurance.
Well, because your driver's license, if you have a series of accidents and or speeding tickets or whatever, you get bumped up in risk on other insurance, not just auto insurance.
I did not realize that.
Homeowners insurance, life insurance, they all these actuarials, they know how to play all of this stuff into it to determine how great of a risk you are. And then there are regional risks on top of that, right? In the Midwest, it could be a tornado damage or flooding. Florida, you know what it is, hurricanes, right? California, earthquakes.
Well, and just like if you live in the city, because I used to live in the Southampton neighborhood, and your rate for your car insurance is going to be, I would say, significantly higher than if you moved to St. Charles County, because your risk of getting bumped or broken into is a lot higher if you're living in those areas than it is compared to others.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people realize that. In fact, I was caught off guard initially when that happened, and I saw that my rate had gone down, which I loved. I don't know. When we moved, yeah, this is a few years ago after we got married. But I just find it very interesting. It's equally frustrating for me dealing with these insurance companies and just all these little ways they find to get out of having to pay. And I get that that's their job, right? Like that they have to make money. They have to be profitable. That's what a lot of people in Florida are dealing with, is a lot of these insurance companies will not insure because you have Hurricane Helene and then Milton, like what, a week or two later, and they're like, we're not profitable. Well, we simply can't afford to insure people here.
And you've got people, I'm sure, that try to take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
My daughter was in a car accident. Somebody hit her. And the other company is taking care of all. They've repaired the car, all that stuff. She had to go to the chiropractor because she had a little bit of whiplash. And they called me the other day and they said, oh, by the way, how's your daughter feeling? You know, I know this phone call's being recorded. How's she doing? How's she feeling? We'd like to offer you a cash settlement for pain and suffering. So I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I should probably be on the phone calling the Onder Law Firm, because I could probably get a lot more than what they're offering me out of it. But the other side of me is, well, she's not really, I don't feel like she's injured that badly. I mean, she's gone to the chiropractor a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But you know there are people out there that will take advantage of that situation.
Yeah.
And these companies, they have to figure that liability problem into the mix.
And I do feel bad for them in that sense, because you're right. You're going to have a few bad apples who are going to squeeze out everything they can possibly get when it's really not justified. Now, the chiropractor I get, although there was a similar situation I was in, I've only been in one, if you even want to call this a car accident. Well, no, I guess two. But anyway, point being, I was at a stoplight and the woman in front of me started going. So what, like 5 miles an hour? She had just started going and then she slammed on her brakes. Well, I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention. And this is back in college. And I tapped her, like seriously tapped her. And she was...
Got out holding her neck.
Oh, she had, you know, going... And trust me when I tell you I'm an advocate for chiropractic care. I grew up with that in my family. My two brothers-in-law are both chiropractors. So I am a big fan of that. I think it's necessary. But I remember she was wanting to go to physical therapy and all these. I mean, it was like I must have tapped her going 2 miles an hour. And I can understand needing, honestly, maybe potentially needing some chiropractic care, because the littlest little bump actually can cause damage. But that would be an example of that, long story short, where I felt like she was kind of trying to take advantage of it, and maybe she wanted to go anyway. And she's like, you know what? Perfect. This lady hit me, and now I can get her insurance company to pay for it.
Jackpot. Yeah, you hate that, but it all figures into it, and they're always trying to figure out that angle, for sure. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about what the voting problems in St. Charles County. A little update for you on that from Kurt Barr, who reached out to me over the weekend to tell me what he's trying to do to alleviate some of the long lines out there. Plus, at the top of the next hour, Senate 15, that race between David Gregory and this peerless guy, is a lot closer than a lot of people might think in what has been a pretty dominant Republican district for a long time. Why is that? Well, there are a couple of mayors in West County sticking their nose into it. We're going to talk about that at the top of the hour at 6. Stay tuned.
We will get critical race theory and transgender insanity the hell out of our school. And we will keep men out of women's sports. I will defend religious liberty. I will restore free speech. And I will defend the right to...
Yeah, that was my fault there, Carl. That was part of the president's comments last night at Madison Square Garden. And I think he's hitting the right themes. Of course, not if you listen to the Associated Press. It was there were people who were telling racist jokes there apparently last night. I don't know. Somebody called Kamala Harris lazy. That's a racist thing. I don't know. She's taking days off in the middle of this campaign. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, but they had a comedian there last night who made some comment about Puerto Rico. Donald Trump's not going to win Puerto Rico, but they felt it necessary to apologize anyway for what the guy said. Have you been to Puerto Rico? Did you go to Puerto Rico after one of the many storms they've had down there? It's like a third world country. So it's not that far out of the realm of a joke to make a joke like that. And people can be offended if they want. Have you ever listened to a Don Rickles concert? I would challenge you to go back on YouTube and search for Don Rickles and watch one of his concerts, unfiltered, and come back to me afterwards and tell me if you're butthurt about it. He insulted everybody. I saw him warm up for Frank Sinatra. There was nobody in the audience, Asian, black, white, Chinese, Jewish, Muslim. There was nobody in the audience he didn't offend with a joke. But everybody laughed about it and went home afterwards.
That's usually how it works with comedians. They say things that would typically offend people, but they're willing to go there. And that's why it's funny.
But you can't do that at a political rally in Madison Square Garden. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, this is a huge election a week from tomorrow. Go vote early, please. The one place in the area, and maybe Kim, you've got a different point of view on this, that the biggest place I've heard complaints about with the early voting, there have been some 20, 30-minute waits in St. Louis County. I mean, turnout has been big so far. St. Charles County seems to have had the most problems because they've only got two locations to early, no-excuse absentee vote. A lot of these other counties have multiple locations, and I think that's been the big difference. And I think in hindsight, the elections director out there, Kurt Barr, would admit that maybe we should have had more locations.
Maybe.
You think?
By maybe, I mean yes.
Thank you. So I've been texting with Kurt, and he sent me this yesterday. They've got the one location is at the headquarters up there off 79 in St. Charles County. The other one is at the Element Church out pretty much where 6440 and 70 meet out there in Lake St. Louis near Wentzville. We are now going to have Element Church open the Monday before Election Day. I guess the idea was originally they would not be open the Monday before Election Day, so they're now going to keep it open next Monday, a week from today. They have doubled the on-demand printers, which are available out there. So if that was slowing things down when people checked in, he said they're increasing staffing by 60% and increasing check-in stations by 50%. So if there were 8 people there before, I'm assuming there will now be, what, 12?
Well, and you have to have a Democrat and a Republican, right, though, right?
Right. And here are the totals so far. As of this was Saturday when Kurt texted me, 29,912 people have voted in person as of that day. On Saturday, 3,200 voted.
That includes excuse and no excuse absentee voting, right?
Yes.
I think that's pretty significant.
I think it is significant, and I hope people aren't discouraged. I had somebody else reach out to me this weekend. Took him almost 2 hours to vote this weekend in St. Charles County. So don't let that discourage you. Get out, vote early. Let's get them banked, please. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the very surprisingly tight race in Senate District 15. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.